good to be with y'all this evening here at Trail Branch Church. I've never been here before, and just delighted to be with you this evening. Certainly do appreciate everything that's gone before, and may the Lord grant that His Spirit would abide with us in this portion of the service. And one thing we can all do together is to pray that He would. I was recently asked by a new member of our church there at home. They came to me, and they weren't raised in the Primitive Baptist Church. Really, wasn't raised to go to church anywhere. But having heard what we believe, he decided that's what he believed. And was baptized, and we're very happy. But he asked a question recently. He says, "Brother David, what do the Primitive Baptists do with John chapter 3, verse 16? Well, we do the same thing with that we do every other scripture. We preach what it teaches. We pray that the Lord will give us the knowledge of it. But he says, well, but I've noticed that a lot of churches I've been to, they really like that text a lot. And I said, that's good for them. I'm not saying that's bad or good. But a danger that you have when you take a text, a chapter, and a verse, that you're in danger of building a system of doctrine that's based upon a bad foundation and would lead you into beliefs that the Bible does not teach. And the thing that I have said to God's people about John 3:16 is that it is pretty much in the middle of a conversation. Now, I've walked in on my kids, and they're talking, and I'm thinking that the world is about to end, based upon what I've catch them saying. But after being caught up, I found out it's not going to end today, maybe next week. But it's not as bad as I thought it was. And so, you really put yourself at a disadvantage when you say, well, John 3:16 is this, but let's look at this as the scriptures unfolded, because again, this is a conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and another person. So in John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." That's a nice thing that Nicodemus said to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it certainly runs contrary to what the other Pharisees thought about the Lord. They didn't like it. They felt like he was against the law. They did not approve and tried everything that they could to stop him. Of course, they were unsuccessful. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man is different. And he makes a statement, a positive statement about the Lord. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." That's not what the other Pharisees were saying. Some of them would say that he's a devil, that he comes from the devil, or that he is the devil. That doesn't make any sense, but anyway, they didn't like that about him. Yes, he comes at night. I think he's afraid of being seen. But he still finds the Lord, and he still makes this statement. He says, "The proof is the miracles you've done. You couldn't have done them except God be with you. Therefore, you are a teacher come from God." Well, I think he's right. Hey, amen, what Nicodemus said. But what our Lord said in return to Nicodemus doesn't seem to go with what Nicodemus said. See, if someone came to me they say, Brother Montgomery, I really think you're a good preacher. I don't hear that often, but when somebody may say that. Maybe once in a third blue moon, someone will say, Brother Dave, I really enjoy your preaching. That was a good sermon you preached the other day. Well, I'll say, well thank you very much. That was very nice of you to say. Yeah. Just continue. Keep talking. But what the Lord said in return wasn't like that. Here, y'all know what He said. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that have to do with Nicodemus' state? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said of Him, never man spake like this man. Now, there are some Greeks that came to the apostles and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And the apostles, they came to the Lord and said, these men want to see you. What Jesus said doesn't make any sense either. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Well, may I say, if you want to see Jesus, that's how He wants you to see Him. As that one that died, and in His death, life comes to innumerable hosts. Salvation. That's, if you want to see Jesus, that's how He wants you to see Him. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If I may say it like this, Nicodemus, the only reason you can say that and know it is because you've been born again. I think He's telling Nicodemus about himself. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you have been born again. You don't see the kingdom of God and then get born again. You don't get baptized and then get born again. You don't believe and then get born again. You have to be born again or you'll never see. You'll never believe. You'll never have the thought of ever wanting to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible because you're dead in trespasses and sins. And primitive Baptists believe in Holy Spirit regeneration. That means you're born again by the Holy Spirit. We do not believe in gospel regeneration. That means you're born again when you believe the gospel. The gospel does not give us life. It gives light to life. It enables you to see that you are a child of God. I'm not that good a preacher to give you divine life. I can't even keep people awake most of the time. I can't even wake people up from a natural sleep, much less who am I to think that I can wake someone up from the death of sin? Well, I know one who can. The master preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He's so good a preacher, He can say one word and it's effectual. He says, live and we live. I'm not that good a preacher. I can't even preach about it with one word. I need to use a whole lot of other words. So He's saying, Nicodemus, except a man be born again. What you're seeing is not through your own righteousness. There's a reason why you're seeing it. And it's because you've been born again. And so Nicodemus is questioning that. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you've been born again, you can't see it, and you will not enter it. Now, if you're ever at a meeting and you see a bunch of preachers congregated together talking, they're either hard-shelling or they're gossiping or both. Now, I'm just going to give you a little secret. You see a bunch of preachers. You come to some fellowship meeting. You come out to Texas. Come out to one of our meetings. You see a bunch of preachers together. You go up to those preachers and you ask those preachers one question. And you'll get something on your hands. You'll say, brethren, what did the Lord mean when He said, except a man be born of water? And just listen to the answers you get, because you might get as many answers as there are preachers. All right? I'm not here to come to Texas to tell y'all how to think, but I'm here to tell you what I think. And you don't have to agree with it, but it'd be nice if you loved me anyway. I've heard some people preach that, well, that's talking about the natural birth. When you're born of a woman. I think that people preach that. I personally don't think that's the case in this text. Because he's going to use a verse that says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that's born of the flesh is flesh. Now, I think he's talking about fleshly birth. I've had some people say, well, I think that word being born of water and of the Spirit, that word and means even of. It's talking about the same thing. I'll take that. That sounds good. That's amen. But I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us something specifically about being born again. And in that, if you notice in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he talks about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost renews and gives life, but in the process, it also washes and cleanses us, and we become a spiritual person that not only knows no sin, it cannot sin. There's something holy within us. And we now have two natures. We have a spiritual nature that hates sin, that abhors sin, but we still have the fleshly to contend with that is prone to sin. And that is the warfare that we fight every day. One thing about heaven that I love is that back then will that warfare be over with. When we are made incorruptible and undefiled. What a day that will be. But he's saying that, I believe he's talking about Nicodemus's case, is that he sees something that he couldn't see before. He didn't know what it is. He is asking questions about it. And our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching him all about it. And he's using the process of birth to describe what has happened to him. Let's just keep reading. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So now he brings another natural illustration of this process. And he's speaking of the wind. And he says, the wind goes where it goes. You can't make the wind blow on you. You can't invite the wind. It comes and it goes and it follows its own path. Jesus says, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. We didn't wake up on a day and say, you know, today would be a good day to get born again. We didn't read a book on how to be born again. We didn't have such a good minister that He preached us into divine life. It was done solely and completely and sovereignly by the Lord and His direction of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty easy to get, don't you think? I mean, that's easy enough for me to say amen to. I'll amen it myself. Amen. We ought to amen it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just me. I didn't make this up. This is the Lord speaking. That's what we believe. That's what I've heard preached all my life. And the more I hear it preached, the more sense it makes. And the reason it makes more sense is because I've had enough time to do more sinning in my life. And I found out, if it's not me, then if it's not the Lord, there is no salvation. And so, Nicodemus, though, still doesn't get it. I don't know when I was born again. I was raised in the Primitive Baptist Church. I was taken to Bethel Primitive Baptist Church in McMahon, Texas, when I was 5 days old. I don't remember that Sunday very well. Probably had some good preaching. I don't remember it. They took me to that church for 2 years. Then we moved and we went to other churches. My father was ordained to the ministry in July of 1969. My grandfather preached for the Primitive Baptists, my great-grandfather. His father was a deacon in the Primitive Baptist Church, came to Texas from Coleman, Alabama. All I've known is Primitive Baptists. We spent our vacations going to Primitive Baptist church meetings. I didn't think you could take a vacation without going to church. What a terrible life I had. I mean, I've got a lot to gripe about. You know, like I say, I had a drug problem growing up. I got drugged to church all the time. I don't know when that I first felt, you know, I remember growing up at the age of when I was 9 and hearing the preaching and being comforted by it. I can remember sermons as far back as 1961. I'm not old, I just have a real good memory. I can remember that far back, 1961, 62, 63. I've heard preachers preach that were ordained by men who fought in the Civil War. I remember seeing baptisms and communions and feet washing, going to church all across Texas and Oklahoma, New Mexico, up into Colorado. I thought the world ended, when Texas ended. Found out there's states called Georgia that had Primitive Baptists in it. And y'all preach what we preach. But I remember, my beloved, when I first really understood the truth of the Scriptures. But that wasn't being born again. That was conversion. That was a spiritual experience. But unless God had put life into me, being dead in trespasses and sins, I never would have loved it like I came to love it as I do. My friends, these things that I exhibit are not things that got me in God's love, but these are evidences that God loved me. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And so, my beloved friends, this is what Nicodemus is getting and not understanding it. It took me a long time to really understand even the very basic fundamental doctrines. And I'm still learning. I'm still studying. The more I learn, the more I find out I don't know. And so I keep studying and learning, and may God continue to bless. Nicodemus hears the words of Jesus Christ being born Himself and still not understanding it. And so the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Says Nicodemus, I've given you examples and you're not understanding it. I've told you about the birth. That ought to click with you, but it's not. I've told you about the wind. You know, on May 11th, 1959, I decided that that was a good day to be born. Does that make any sense to y'all? Remember that day, May 11th. Let me say it again. May 11th, I'll say 1959. I just woke, I said, that was a good time to be born. No, I don't remember that. I had nothing to do with it. I was passive in it. April 24th, 1988, my wife and I had a beautiful day planned. We were going to go to church that Sunday morning, and then we were going to go eat at her favorite Italian restaurant. Yes, we were going to skip Primitive Baptist lunch because I was going to take her to her favorite restaurant. What a good husband I am. And then we were going to go tour the botanical gardens. It was beautiful spring weather. We had a beautiful day planned. But it was ruined because that day my son decided to be born. Ruined that day for us. Been mad at him ever since. 24 years later, I still hold a grudge. Man, I had it all planned out and you ruined it. It's your fault. No, he had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with it. My friends, you had nothing to do with your regeneration. God had everything to do with it. Now you have everything to do with what you do with it afterwards. We ought to be in the house of God. We ought to study our Scriptures. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to sing with the understanding and make melody in our heart. That's what we ought to do. But my beloved friends, that comes after regeneration. I don't know why I'm making an echo, but I hope it's not bothering you. But my friends, I tell you this. It comes and it springs from the Lord. And then He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. I used to work out in the hot sun and in the fields there in Texas, and I'd just be pulling weeds and all that kind of stuff, and it'd just be hot, and I'd be giving anything if I could just have a wind blow at me at that time. And I'd just say, oh, wind blow. You know what? It never did. It never did. It never did. The wind is sovereign. God is sovereign. God directs the wind. When they were on that boat, the Lord rebuked the winds, and they ceased. And they said, what manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey the sound of His voice? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who it is. That's who's the head of His church and ought to be the head of our life. Jesus said, I've told you about these things. We understand them, but this man is still not getting it. He said, if I told you of natural things and you understand it not, how shall you believe if I tell you of spiritual things? And guess what? He starts talking about spiritual things. And this is very important to understand as we get closer to John 3:16. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. This is verse 13. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. All right, so we're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has come up to heaven. But me, I came down from heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If we don't understand what's going on in this text, we're going to get messed up in the following text. Jesus Christ speaks of an incident that happened when the Jews were wandering. They went to a place where many were bitten by fiery serpents. That means poisonous snakes. The Lord sent a way of healing to them in that they fashioned a serpent of brass, affixed it on a pole, and lifted it up. And all who were under the that serpent that gazed and saw it were healed. All under the shadow of that serpent. The Lord said, as that serpent was lifted up and brought healing, even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. And guess what? The same thing happens. All whom is under Him, or in Him, or is represented in Him, will be saved without the loss of one. No one left behind. Every one of them gathered in, preserved, and protected. That's what He's talking about. Jesus Christ is how we get to heaven. It's not our works. Our works bring heaven on earth, or time salvation, or right now salvation. It brings heaven closer to us on earth. But the only reason we have a hope in heaven is because the Son of Man was lifted up. If He's not lifted up, there's no healing. We're condemned. I don't have anything to preach to you. Except you better take care of yourself, because when you die, you're going straight to hell. That would be a depressing doctrine to preach. But I've got a better one than that. Jesus Christ died for His people. And all that are in Him will be born again and will be saved. I can't think of anything better than that. You can mix law and grace and be confused and not have anything good or comforting to say to God's people. I like this a lot better, and I believe that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Moses lifted up a serpent. It did its job. God is going to lift up the Son of Man, and it, or He, will do His job. That's it. That's good news. That's the gospel. And then He says this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He's not saying belief brings you into eternal life. The lifting up of the Son of Man is what did it. But what belief does is that it gives you the comfort and the joy of it. And then He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's talking to a man that was afraid to be seen speaking with Christ. He's talking to a man that does not understand what Jesus is telling him. He's talking to a man that is afraid of what does all this mean. And He's telling him, Nicodemus, there will come a time that you will understand this and that you will not be afraid. John 3:16 is not a positional text. It's not a conditional text. It's a text of comfort. It's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of going to hell. The Son of Man was lifted up. Don't be afraid that you haven't done enough to get to heaven. Jesus did it all. You're not going to perish. Jesus Christ has saved our soul. Nicodemus, one of these days, you'll get there. Sometimes I'm there myself. Sometimes not. I would like to tell you, my beloved friends, that my faith has gotten stronger and stronger since I first believed. If you look at my faith, it's like the Geiger counter just going up and down. If salvation is by faith, I'm going straight to hell. If salvation is dependent upon perseverance, I'm persevering straight to hell. If it's based upon my record, lock me up right now. But if it's based upon the Son of Man who is lifted up, then I'm all right. And I'm not afraid. I'm afraid of me. I'm afraid of what I could accomplish. I'm afraid of what I could do. I'm afraid that I will fall. But I'm not afraid in the blood of Jesus Christ who preserves me forever. That right there, my friends, causes me not to be afraid. That's what I think John 3:16 is saying. Believe. Amen. We should believe in Jesus Christ. If the gospel is preached, we ought to believe it. If the Holy Ghost is blessing us, we ought to believe it. We ought to say amen. If we haven't joined the church, we ought to join the church. We ought to press into the kingdom of God. We ought to love the kingdom of God more than we love anything else. More than fried chicken. That always wakes the young people up. We ought to love it more than video games. More than an Xbox. You old folks don't know what I'm saying. You're blessed. You are so blessed. But I've got teenagers at the house. I've got to know this stuff. But what we're doing right now is better than Skyrim. Some of these kids are getting me right now. You old folks don't get it. Don't worry about it. You're blessed. Praise God. I've got to deal with it. I've got to deal with this kind of stuff. I've got to deal with that. Man, I don't understand. John 3:16 sounds like it says you've got to believe and get saved. I need to explain it to them. He said, I've heard this all my life. Why aren't you praising God right now? He said, I don't know how many sermons on regeneration I've heard all my life. Why aren't you shouting right now? He said, I was raised on this. I can say this frontwards and backwards. Praise God. Thank God for that. Because I've baptized some people recently that just are now getting it. And they're in a state of absolute awe of how great the grace of God is. You mean that I don't have to outrun the devil till the day I die? Well, you should. Because he's going to chase you. You ought to outrun him. Put on your spiritual Nikes. Come on, you can do it. But your salvation is not dependent upon how good a race you run. It is dependent on the fact that the Son of Man was lifted up. That's what saved you. That's what paid your sin debt. We sang that song tonight. He paid the price. Did we sing that tonight? Maybe it was last Sunday. I don't know. It's a good song. We ought to sing it if we haven't. We didn't sing it tonight. I can tell by your faces. All right, I was studying for this, okay? No, I heard it last Sunday. It was good. How am I going to wiggle out of this one? Phil Conway is going to... Anyway. But yes, y'all believe he paid the price? Did we pay any of it? How could we? We didn't. We were dead. We're bankrupt. As I heard the old timers preach, 10,000 talents in debt, not a farthing to pay. That means you owe $10 billion, and you didn't have a plug nickel. But our Lord, though He was rich, became poor. That we through His poverty might be rich, and we are. If you have heard this and believe this all your life, praise God for it. And be glad that it's still being preached. I pray to God that if the Lord comes back, that I'm here where God's people are and rejoicing in the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not a hybrid gospel, or not another gospel, or a different version of the truth, or somebody's idea of what it means. No, I want to know what saith the Scripture, and may God give us the knowledge of it. And so what I want to understand is that, yes, Jesus Christ died for my sins now. Now what do I do about it? Well, believe it. And rejoice in it. Because that doctrine and that gospel is telling you that you're not going to perish. You're not going to perish. You're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. And that sounds pretty good to me. I would like to be in heaven right now. But I'm mighty glad to be in heaven on earth right now. This will suffice until the Lord comes back. So John 3:16, it's not telling you how you get to heaven. It's telling you believe in the one that got you to heaven. Now, if football players are going to put scriptures on their face, y'all know who I'm talking about. I don't have any problem with that. Don't have any problem with that at all. I admire the man. But if I'm going to be a football player and I'm going to chalk a scripture on my face, it wouldn't be John 3:16. If it's going to be out of the third chapter of John, it would probably be John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That says what I believe. Or it would be John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's what got me to heaven. John 3:16 is comfort to a man that was afraid, and now through the preservation of that, I can read it and I can try not to be afraid myself and marvel and just completely get lost in this important truth that God so loved the world. What was there in you that could merit esteem? What was so special about us? He loved us, my friends, because He loved us. And not based upon what He knows that we would do for Him. It's just based upon His grace and mercy. I don't know what Nicodemus felt as he walked away from this conversation. But there was a time that he stood up in defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was another time at the end when our Lord had been crucified. Nicodemus and another man named Joseph take the body of Christ. They get permission from Pilate. They do this in full public. They go to the cross. They take His body down. They take Him to Joseph's tomb. They anoint His body. And they walk away. They're not afraid of what people will think anymore. I would like to have been with Nicodemus when he heard the news that this man rose from the dead and lives. I would have liked to have been with Joseph. And I would have been this: Joseph, looks like you got your tomb back. Y'all will get that later on when you think about it. So I like to say, Jesus is the only man that borrowed a tomb and gave it back. Well, I think we all will to some degree. When He comes back, we're going to give up the grave. We're not going to take it with us. Death, where is thy, grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? We'll leave those graves behind and be with the Lord forever and ever. All because, my friends, not because we believe, but because this Son of Man was lifted up. May the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.